African leaders who have been president for more than 3 decades. And if Jeff had not laid his icy hands on the late president of Togo, Nyasinge Eyadeba, he probably have been jubilated today, because he was the president of Togo, he was elected president of Togo, or installed official president of Togo on this day in 1967. We shall take a look at other important events that occurred on this day, but we are going to shift our attention to the agenda for the day, and we're talking about the rise in inflation rates. Surging oil and food prices on the international market have become a problem to many developing countries, especially in Ghana. Reports in Ghana today indicate that the rate of inflation in March 2008 hit 13.7%, representing an increase of 0.58% over that of February the same year. So this morning we should take a look at the rise in inflation rates against Ghana achieving a single digit of inflation by the end of the year 2008. My guest is the Executive Director of the Imani Center for Policy and Education. Please be here for Francis Ijeh. You're very welcome.
Good morning. Thank
you.
Akwe. Right.
Well,
I'm not that fluent. Actually, I'm a Gwan. But it so happens that once you're from the Volta region, I'm from a village called Lobi Kumasi. Actually, 5 kilometers. Great, you know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, great.
So let's compare the current inflation rate to that of January and find out the cause of the rise. People have attributed it to the war in Iraq, resulting in high prices of oil, and then others have blamed climate change, negative climate change. So what could have caused the rise?
I'm not a big fan of inflation figures because, again, the way they are produced sometimes has problems. But then let's not even get there. The fact is that once Ghana is part of a global community, what affects certain parts of the world usually would affect us. In fact, you all know that when President Bush, for instance, sneezes, or if he's reported to be ill, definitely the markets tend to be affected. So what that means, again, is that if America is actually going through a turmoil economically. You've heard about the credit crunch. What it also means is that all economies that are indexed, especially to the US dollar, definitely will be affected. So that's one. So once you're part of the global community, you are not absolved totally from these problems. But again, you are right. The surge in oil prices is one. Obviously, if oil has risen to over $100 mark, obviously those are problems. There's a multiplier effect. People have also said that the rise of the biofuel revolution, let me put it that way, if it doesn't sound tautological. But what it means is that because of, again, the blame game going around about climate change, what it means is that people are thinking of alternative fuel sources. And biofuels, that is using certain food crops like maize and wheat in order to generate fuel, is also apparently causing this. Then there is the rise of the Chinese middle class. Don't forget, the Chinese are doing so well now, and everyone is afraid of China. So again, the fact that there is this surge, and there's the drift, really, the incomes within urban communities in certain parts of the developing Asian continent would mean that there will be the demand for more food. And so, like they say, too much money probably chasing few goods, and that definitely becomes inflationary. Well, climate change, again, we've said it. It's a chicken and egg situation. You say climate change is causing this. Obviously, this could be true. I'm not saying this. There isn't climate change. But then there are adaptive mechanisms we probably will be talking about, and we might want to get there. Because again, the climate change debate is full of a lot of illogicalities. You don't really know who is saying the truth, even though we believe that climate... You said, for instance, this morning that the weather figures that is being screened is only valid for 12 hours. You can never predict the weather beyond 5 days. If you're sincere, even you do that. So how come you can predict the climate? Indeed. Anyway, we don't want to get there. But the point I'm trying to make is that
there's so much toxic waste going into the atmosphere. You can't predict.
Well,
the ozone layer will be depleted.
Well, people will say, well, that's the point. We had these kinds of arguments some time back. Actually, in the 14th, 15th, 16th century, people predicted that the world was coming to an end because there were too many people and there was too little food. What happened? Improvement in medicine, improvement in agriculture, machinery. Even talk about the aeroplanes. Who knew that we'd be flying? People said all kinds of things. So I'm trying to say that leave that to innovation. Leave that innovation in a free society. That will solve it. Technological advancement. Otherwise, this room will be too hot. We are here probably being cozy because there's an air conditioner, right? Anyway, so basically, the question is, as I've said, some of the problems that led to, or that continuously lead to the rise in inflation in Ghana, obviously would be the reasons you have also identified and the ones I've also added to.
Many Ghanaians have made an analogy coming from the viewpoint of a common sense approach, and they believe that the surge in fuel price in the international market, as well as food prices in general, recently it's rise. You know, the problems with the high prices of food, and that being attributed to the rise in inflation in Ghana. We're looking at in Ghana. There's also another school of thought that we are increasing in number. The size of land is not increasing.
Well, land is static, that's true. And don't for once buy that theory about me increasing in number. Because if you look at the proportion, indeed, if you look at the way population is distributed over a parcel of land, we talk about the population density, that comes nowhere near to the argument that we are becoming too much. That's not to say that certain families should not control the number of children they have when they genuinely know they can't take care of them.
Yeah.
The population has never been. In fact, today, the world statistics, what we have is that there's too much food. In fact, there's so much food going around. The problem with it, though, is probably the ability to buy and then actually the distribution mechanisms. Even Ghana, we all know that a lot of our food gets rotten on the farms. And if you don't have access routes, what it means is that food will be sold probably at farm gate prices to business people. And in times of need, we don't even have the buffer, we don't have storage facilities. So what happens is that we tend to be affected. Now, can you say that because Ghana's population is is too much, that's the reason why we don't have food going around probably to everyone? No. I mean, there must be serious data that there's so much food. The problem has been a distribution mechanism.
You want to say there's so much local production of food?
Well, there is local production of food, but the problem is about getting the food to the various centers, the market centers.
And we have this problem. Really want us to look at the high demand for exotic foods as against the local.
Well, you can talk about one of that. Of course, when I say you try to use this staple rice, for instance, that's true. I mean, in this country, we know that about 60% of the rice we consume really is imported. But don't forget that there's so much rice even in my hometown, which probably you know. Exactly. And so much rice produced in the Aveyime areas. But what has happened? I mean, not to sound political. I mean, for want of probably being demonized as doing something bad that your predecessor did, you don't want to go ahead and do something. There's so much rice. But the point again is about, there's a mix really. If you look at the fact that there is rice, it's not going round for people to get. There's also the issue of quality. When you talk about people going for exotic foods,
do they have a mechanization for high quality?
Probably they don't have. Also because local factors, accessing loans, that's credit, the fact that even, we can talk about the issue of property rights, the fact that lands that they even cultivate on, probably they do not own, and so they don't feel incentivized enough in order to encourage enhanced production.
And the fact that you have to travel on some very bad routes.
Well, that's the point. And so, well, definitely you have to, but again, looking at the global picture, so that rice importation probably has been the norm, because again, one is probably cheaper, because you know it's there, it tastes nicer. In terms of nutrition, local rice is better. But the fact is that it's
far, perfumed. Far better.
It's far better. But this imported rice is perfumed, and you know, the hype that is given to it.
Petrol life smells good too.
Well,
the
it does.
The ones that have been produced, you know.
Well, it does. Well, it does. So there's an attitudinal problem about Ghanaians not wanting locally made food. But again, you can't blame them. Because if they buy the rice and it's full of stones, for instance, how do you expect him to go and buy it the next day? And in any case, sometimes it could be that expensive as well, given the factors we've alluded to. The storage mechanisms not being there, the transportation systems are not being there, and then obviously the cost of production was high. So
it all boils down to logistics. They're not there. The inputs are not there. Mechanized farming, technological advancements, we don't have that here. So it's difficult for us to have confidence in, for instance, our own locally produced rice.
But we should have confidence if, again, and I'm not someone who believes that government has to do everything, but essentially government has to set the pace. If all...
And get private,
well,
you know, people...
that's the point. But there's one important factor. If you look at the figures, the amounts of money that is going to agriculture, there's an abysmal 6% of all monies that are going to agriculture that goes to peasant farmers. And I know in Ghana, mostly it's peasantry farming. So if you have this sort of scenario, what it means is that you're not even sure. Because if an industry is supposed to employ 70% or 60%, and only 6% of all loans go to that industry, it tells you where your priority lies. Probably getting debts and being cozy about them.
Right. 3 weeks ago, frightening news started trickling down, and the issue of rice shortage. Now let's go back to that issue. India, China, Vietnam, and Egypt, among other major food exporting countries, have placed export restrictions on rice due to signals informed by a fear of food shortages in a foreseeable future. So the prospects, they say, are not too good for Ghana because we depend on rice imports. Feed our people, even though we still have lots of fine, locally produced rice. Comments.
Well, don't they say that necessity is the mother of invention? I don't think that we would be inventing anything in Ghana here. Maybe go back to your roots, like most countries are doing. Go back to your roots. Look at the reasons why your own locally produced is not being patronized, or if it is there, and find out how you're able to distribute it. Because you can't spend a lot of your foreign exchange really importing. But there's a catch here. You know, it's so funny. If you look at the way global economic systems really work, this is a situation those countries have mentioned that say, no, we're not going to export again. Now, there are countries that used to import. And when they import, they place so much taxes on this imported product because they wanted to create local champions,
yeah.
Ineffective ones as they are do. Then, what is happening is that these people are saying, no, we're not going to export again. And these people, like Ivory Coast recently, and some other countries are saying, oh, please, we'll now reduce import tariffs so that we'll allow more food in.
This is not pathetic.
It's really pathetic. And that's part of what you call the voodoo economics, because politicians usually think that by just having a magic wand, they can solve everything. Now, if they have been given that kind of probably support locally to their own people, and that's an attitudinal problem, if that was also changed, we wouldn't get ourselves in this mess in which we are today. So that, again, like I say, it's a chicken and egg situation. But
do you want to play devil's advocate? Would you say that hands are being greased in certain corners, and that's how come we are still not focusing on forgetting about foreign rice and concentrating on producing ours locally?
Again, there are conspiracy theories. I mean, I've heard about people who have taken over the mandate. There are some big shots who have taken over the importation, so you don't want to go there. But you see, I'm a believer in making sure adequately opening up trade locally and for outsiders. Because you see, choice matters. Your choice and my choice are different. So we should allow that. I'm not sure, and I don't want to be a devil's advocate here, if it's possible. And this has happened everywhere, that there are some magnates, some cartel that are involved in this. But they are only doing this only because they've seen that probably the policy and the policy managers are incapable of ensuring that local sustainability is there. In any case, I don't believe that we should be self-sufficient in food production, because again, Hong Kong and certain countries are not self-sufficient in food production, but they are self-sufficient in food consumption.
Right.
What do? They invest in technology and trade off technology products for all kinds of other goods. So if you don't do that, well,
so the flag is gone higher, we have to end this discussion. But I know you have another platform sometime on this network.
Definitely.
We'll talk more about this issue.
My pleasure.
So you can also send your comments to remembercircle1406. We'd love to email. Do that. DaybreakTV is the email address. DaybreakTV@yahoo.com. If you love writing, then do. Daybreak, producer, director, PO.